Verse number 7, the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord." Now listen, in the Bible, when the Lord asks a question, he's not looking for information he doesn't know. He asks a question, not because he needs to know, but he's trying to reveal something. And he knew where Satan been. You know, that's what I'm trying to say. He asked Adam in the garden, said, "Where art thou?" He knew where Adam was, right? He asked Jacob, "What is thy name?" He knew what Jacob's name was. He said, "Whence comest thou?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for saving me. Lord, I'm thankful to be in church. I thank you for the word of God. And Lord, I thank you for all that you've done in my life. And Lord, you are the best thing that has ever happened to me. And everything I have, I owe it to you. And I'm thankful for that this morning. And Lord, I pray that already as we've had an opportunity, it could be our last, we don't know. I pray that we praised and worshiped you. I pray that you already have received honor and glory here this morning. And now as we open your word, I ask, Lord, for your touch and anointing on the preaching of the word of God. Lord, I desperately need you. And I pray you bless now. Bless your people that are here. Speak to their hearts. If there's one not saved here today, God, I pray you'd save them today in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you know in the end, the rest of chapter 1 of Job, that Job loses pretty much everything that he has. And I want you to look over in chapter number 2, in verse 1, the Bible says, "Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, From whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause? Satan answered the Lord and said, Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life." I don't see anywhere in there where Satan admits that he was wrong in chapter 1. He told the Lord, if you take away what Job has, he'll curse you. He took away all that Job had. Job said this. He said, the Lord gave, the Lord had taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. But I don't see the devil ever saying, hey, I was wrong. Lord, you were right. Job, you proved me wrong. He doesn't say no, he does. He just doubles down, and now he's going to try again. Verse 5, "But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life." You know, we know these passages, and it's interesting. The Bible tells us in chapter 1 and 2 how Satan, he's in the presence of God. And the Lord asked him where he's been. He said he's been going to and fro in the earth from walking up and down in it. It reminds me of 1 Peter 5:8. The Bible says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." Now listen, I do not fully understand, and if you do, you can not let me know after service, but I don't fully understand all the workings of the devil. I know who he once was, the anointed cherub that covers the throne of God. I know here he had access before God in Job chapter 1, Job chapter 2. I know the Bible tells us he's the accuser of the brethren. I know, as I just read, he walks about seeking whom he may devour. I know the devil's very powerful. I know he's very wise. I know he's very persistent. He doesn't give up. But I do know this. The devil is not God. He's not as powerful as God. He cannot be everywhere at one time. The devil can only be in one place. Now, his demons and evil spirits, they're all over. The devil does not have the power that God has. God has already defeated the devil. He's going to do it again. And the devil's eternal destination has already been determined by God in the lake of fire forever and ever. But here in the book of Job, he has access to the throne of God. The Bible tells us about in 1 John 2:14 says, I've written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I've written unto you, young men, because ye are strong and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. You think of the devil and the word of God, he's called many things. He's called the deceiver, the tempter, the adversary, the accuser of the brethren. He's a father of lies. He's the murderer. He's called the great dragon. Here in Job 1 and 2, and I don't understand all, but we find him coming before God. And what's he been doing? He's going to and fro in the earth, walking up and down in it. You know what I know of the devil is? The devil is, he's wicked. If I could call him today, he's the wicked one. Would you not agree? He's the wicked one. Much of what's going on in the world today is because of the will of the devil. He's the God, the prince of the power of the air. He is the God of this world. These folks, these evil people in the world today, they're not working independent of the devil. They're, I believe, pawns. They're being used by the devil to accomplish what he wants. But in all that, God is still in control of all that's going on. The Bible says this about the wicked. It says in Proverbs 4, enter not into the path of the wicked and go not in the way of evil men. Proverbs 1:10 says, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. And then verse 15 says, my son, walk not down the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. I want to look at the way of the wicked here in the book of Job in the first two chapters, and we'll find that in Satan himself. And the first thing I want you to see about Satan is, what is he doing there before the throne of God, accusing one of God's, Job, trying to get Job, trying to destroy him, trying to get Job to curse God? That is what the devil was trying to do. How did he end up there? How did he get there? Well, we need to look at where he started. We know in Isaiah chapter 14, the Bible says this, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which is weak in the nations? For thou said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation. In the sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. You know how Satan got to where he was there in Job chapter 1? What a far fall from where he was as the son of the morning. You know how he got there? He got there because of rebellion. He wanted to rebel. He did. He wanted to be higher than God. He wanted to exalt his throne above the throne of God. He wanted to sit on the mount. He wanted to be ascended higher than God. He rebelled against God. And because of rebellion, you know what God did? God cast him down. And here we see the devil. You know what rebellion causes you to do? It causes you to be out of your place. That is not the place that God had created Lucifer for. He did not create him to end up in the lake of fire. He created him as the anointed cherub. But he rebelled against God. He said no to God. He said, my will supersedes the will of God. He rebelled against God. We see there the rebellion of the wicked. And because of that, he got out of his place. And I'm telling you, when you rebel, what happens to you? You get out of your place. One preacher said, place I looked at, he said rebellion. One of the definitions is reserving for myself the right to make the final decision. Let me tell you, if you're saved here today, you don't have the right to make the final decision. That is not your right. Our right is submit to God. So the devil got out of his place in Exodus 28. The Lord's talking the king of Tyrus, but it's also telling us about what happened to Satan. He said, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. And I've set thee so thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created. He's a created being. Then the Bible says this, till iniquity was found in thee. What was that iniquity? It was rebellion, driven by pride. And when that iniquity was found in Satan, everything changed. And now we see that he's the wicked one. He's a murderer. He's a liar. He's a thief. He's a destroyer. And he's out of his place. You know what sin does to us? It causes us to get out of our place. Rebellion causes us to no longer be doing what God has created you and I to be doing, and that is pleasing God with our life. He said, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. He was an amazing created being. I believe he was more special than anybody else there. He had the pipes and musical parts in him, and he was beautiful, and he was musical, and he had a very special place covering the throne of God. And you might say he had something to be proud about. No, he didn't really, because that's how God made him. But man, are we not so much like that? God blesses us. God does for us, and we get lifted up with pride, and we begin to think that we're better than this, so I can make this decision, and we supersede even the Word of God at times, and that pride will lead us to rebellion, and rebellion will cause a great downfall, just like it did in the life. He rebelled against God. He wanted to exalt himself above God, but by wanting that, what a fall, what a move down that he suffered. He rebelled against the authority of God. He did not submit himself to the authority of God. He wanted to take that authority for himself. We see that there's an example of that, as Absalom wanted the authority of the kingship from his father. You know, as Christians, we can rebel against God. We can say no to God somewhere in our life. God might say, do this, and we say, I don't want to do that. He might say, get right about this. I say, I don't want to get right about this. He might say, change this. We say, I don't want to change this. He said, hey, you need to start doing this. I don't want to start doing this. You need to stop doing this. I don't want to stop. Hey, this is the way. Walk in it. I don't want that. God lays some in my heart. Say, that goes against my grain. I don't want to do that. Hey, we can rebel against God. And when you rebel against God, that is wickedness. And you get out of your place. I preached this last week. We ought to be in our place, in our homes and in our church, in our personal lives. But we can get out of place through rebellion. We can rebel against God. And let me tell you this about rebellion. It always leads to more sins. You begin to move. You begin to change. You don't just do it one time. Yeah, it's like compromise. You don't just do it one time. It is a slippery slope of sin. You do not just move and stay in neutral. You're either going forward for God or you're going backwards for God. You're either fighting the good fight or you're retreating in God's in this battle. But one sin, it leads to another. We need to keep fighting and moving forward by the grace of God. Amen. One preacher said this, once you change your position, change becomes your position. That's why you don't change. You should never change. You should never compromise. You should never rebel against the Word of God. I know we think, oh, it's just one little thing or just one time, or we feel like we're justified in this one instance to go against the Word of God. But I'm telling you, you're taking a step out onto a slippery slope, and I promise you it won't stop there. It might be one today, but down the road there'll be a whole more pile of sins that rebellion has brought into your life. Children think, I can disobey my parents. I'll rebel. I'll go behind their back and do what I want to do. I'm just going to do it one time. I'll still go to church. I'll still read my Bible. I'll still dress right. I'll still say yes, ma'am, yes, sir to them when I have to. You don't think that one act of rebellion, because nobody sees it, nobody knows about it, but I'm telling you, God sees it. And that one act of rebellion, if you don't get it right, it's going to lead to more sin in your life. You adults sit there. You be in rebellion to the Word of God, the man of God, and the things of God, and you think it's just one thing. I've got my own opinion. I've got my own way. But I'm telling you, that one act of rebellion, it'll lead to more sin in your life. Amen. Rebellion always leads to more sin. He rebelled against the authority of God. You know what this world has a problem with? It has a problem with authority. That's the reason there's this whole movement in America to get the woman, the wife, the mother out of the home. It wasn't that she really wanted a job. The problem was authority. That's why the world says, oh, we evolved from nothing from a big bang. The problem isn't that they really believe that. They just don't. If they admit that God created them, then they give credence to the authority of God. And this world has a problem with authority. Young people today, they rebel and they have a problem with authority. I was visiting Louise the other week. I was in Coatesville, and there was kids coming up talking to us, and Louise said, hey, this is my pastor, this is my church, even though he never comes here, amen. Like a lot of people, amen, they claim a church and never show up. But anyways, well, there was these kids coming up, and we're just in the van. They're in the middle of the street running around, and this girl, she couldn't have been more than 10 or 11, and she was bragging how she was the most rebellious child in her class. She didn't obey her teacher. She gave her teacher problems. Nobody could tell her what to do. How did we get there in America? We had a problem with authority. So we got rid of the word of God. We left the house of God, and now every man has done that which is right in his own eyes. Amen. The problem is authority. You know why you wives aren't submitted? It's an authority problem. You know why you young people aren't submitted? It's an authority problem. You know why some of you men aren't submitted? It's an authority problem. We have a problem in America, in this world, with authority. And that was the problem the devil had. He didn't like God's authority. You understand the devil was higher than anybody else around him, but God. He wasn't good enough. See, Brother Kevin, a rebel's, it's never good enough for a rebel. It's all about him. God's will wasn't good enough for the devil. God's will wasn't what his will was. He did not submit himself to the will of God. And we see rebellion in the world today. The Bible says this, they know not. This is Psalms 82:5. Neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. You ever see a river get out of course when it floods and overflows? What happens to it? It causes destruction. What happens when we get out of course, out of our place, when we rebel, out of the course that God has for us, we cause destruction. You ever seen somebody out of place? They cause nothing but problems. You get a joint or a body part out of joint or out of place, and it'll cause a lot of pain in your life. Who leaves the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. We see the devil here. He's full of rebellion. He's out of his place. Are we in our place today? But I want you to see the second thing about this wicked one, Job 1:7. The Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. You know what I see here? I see not only do we see the rebellion, that's how Satan got to where he was, but we see the restlessness of the wicked. You know, God created him as the anointed cherub that covered the throne of God. He wasn't made to walk up and down in the earth, to and fro. And here he is, he's going all over the earth. And when he comes back in chapter 2, you know what he's been doing? The same thing. What happens to the wicked when they rebel? Now they have no peace. No longer satisfied with the things of God. Now you begin to look for something else they'll satisfy, something that'll bring some happiness, something that will settle you, something that will fill that emptiness, that longing in your heart, but you're not going to find it because you're in rebellion against God. And when you're in rebellion, you become restless. You have no peace. You're no longer contented with anything. The Bible says this in Isaiah 57, I create the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to him that is far off, and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. You ever gone down there? I know many have gone and seen the ocean. You ever seen the ocean when it's just a little bit agitated? It's a little bit windy and them waves are churning and they're crashing and it's just stirring up dirt and mire and sand and wind and waves and foam and it just, what is it? There is no rest, constant turmoil and churning. Why? That we got out of our place by rebelling against God. young people live in rebellion, you won't know what contentment is. You won't have peace. You ever see somebody just miserable? You know what many times they are? They're in rebellion. They need to be brought back into submission, and they become a lot happier. Listen, how many people walked out of God's house because they're in rebellion to God or rebellion to the man of God? And they say, oh, it's just, I'm just going to go down the street here. And you go back years later, and you can't even, you take a whole book to write up all the stops they've made, everywhere they've gone, everything they've tried. What happens? You rebel against the truth, and you're going to become restless in your spirit and in your life, and you're never going to have peace. You're never going to have lasting contentment. You're always going to be stirred up looking for something new. There's people go through life, and all they're looking for is they're looking for something fun, something new, something amazing, and they cannot live the daily life and grind of Christianity. Why? Because they're restless, because they're in rebellion. Isaiah 55, 7, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. What is the way of the wicked? Let me tell you this, it's my way as opposed to God's way. When we do what we want to do rather than what God wants us to do, it's my way in contradiction to the word of God. It's I'm going to do what I want to do, no matter what anybody else says or thinks about it. And I'm telling you, when we go our way instead of God's way, we'll begin a restless life. Why? We're out of place. And when you're out of place, there's no rest. There's no peace. The way will be turned upside down. It says that in Psalms 146:9, the way of the wicked, he turneth upside down. Back when we were visiting for VBS, knocked on the door, talked to somebody, was talking to this guy, and he literally said this to me. He said they had had an issue with a vehicle, and they had some health issues and a couple of things. He said, it's just like our world's been turned upside down. What is it? It's the life of the wicked. Life of the wicked. Now listen, I'm not up here saying if you live for God, life's always going to be peachy and fun and rose line. I'm telling you, if you're living for God and you're right with God, it doesn't matter how bad the storm is or the trial, the affliction. You can go to that word of God we heard sung about. You can find strength through the word of God, the spirit of God, the grace of God. God is always there. And you can go to bed at night and your world can seemingly be upside down, but you can have rest and peace and live for God in the darkest of the storm. But the wicked don't have that. Why do you think they turn to liquor and drugs, legal drugs, false drugs, psychiatrist, and all this other stuff that people turn to? They're trying to find some rest. Some of them turn to money. They might get a second job. They try to find a hobby. They try to find a vacation. They try to find something that gives them just that little bit of contentment, a little bit of satisfaction in life, and they're not going to find it because they're in rebellion to God. Listen. Are you unsettled in your life? You have no contentment? You got no peace, no rest, never good enough? I'm telling you, somewhere you said no to God, and you have a life of no peace now. Somewhere you went against the word of God. You got out of your place. Why is the devil moving? Why is he going to and fro, up and down, all through the earth? He's out of place. He's in rebellion. And so too today, so many. They're in rebellion. Rebellion to God, rebellion to the Bible, rebellion to their husband, rebellion to their parents. They're in rebellion to the law. We live in a world full of rebellion. And now they're just a wandering, restless spirit, never settled down, never settled in a church. The Bible talks here in Psalm 72 about being planted in the courts of our God. See, it's settled. Planted, you're stable, you're there a while. Some people, they change churches every year or two. Why do they do that? There's rebellion in their heart. Oh, now, they're not going to tell you that. I mean, every church, it's that church's fault, that pastor's fault, that church member's fault. I mean, they just can't find a perfect church like they are. No, the problem is they're rebellion. They have rebellion in their heart. Now, I want you to look not only at his rebellion, and it caused restlessness, no contentment, but look at verse 8. And the Lord said unto Job, hast thou considered I mean, the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" Then Satan answered the Lord and saith, "Doth Job fear God for naught?" You know, it's interesting. When God said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" the devil did not say, "Job who? Where does he live? What can you tell me about him?" Oh, he knew everything about Job. He knew exactly who Job was. He had been considering Job. And you know what he wanted from Job? He wanted Job to do what he did. Curse God. Rebel against God. I see there the resentment of the wicked person. Well, you just read this passage. I know you have, but Satan, he's not very happy with Job. Let me ask you this. What did Job ever do to Satan? Hadn't done a thing. You know what Job had done, Burke Kiefer? He had tried to live for God. He had sacrificed for his children. He had feared God. He had learned to say no. Young people, didn't we learn that this week in the one message? He learned to say no to his flesh and no to this world. And he had lived for God and given his life to try to live for God and bring his family up in the ways of God. He hadn't done anything personally to the devil. Here's the devil over there. You know what he does? He has seen Job, and the more perfect and just and upright that Job is, the more it bothers the devil. He's full of resentment. He's full of bitterness. He's full of hatred. And he wants to destroy the life of Job because Job's making him look bad. You know what the wicked one does, that rebel who has no rest and no contentment and no peace in their life? They honor no person. They want to destroy others as their life. He wanted Job in rebellion to God. He wants to ruin Job's life. You see there's a spirit of wickedness. The Bible says this in Psalms 11, "For though the wicked bend their bow, they make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privily shoot at the upright in heart." I can promise you this today. If you want to live for God, if you want to be upright in heart, eschew evil, live a just, righteous, godly life, take a stand for God, I'm telling you, there are wicked and they will shoot at you. They will try to destroy you. They will try to get you to do exactly what they did. Rebel against authority. You say, "This person's giving me a hard time." Hey, it's because you're trying to live right. And the wicked, they sleep not unless they cause some to fall. They resent the life that you're living. They resent the righteousness in your life. They resent the submission that you have. Psalms 37:12 says, "The wicked plotteth against the just." What did the just ever do against the wicked? Nothing. They plot. They stay up at night. It consumes their mind. They're full of resentment and bitterness and hatred against that person. Amen. And it says, "And gnasheth upon him with his teeth." Verse 14, "The wicked have drawn out the sword and bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of upright conversation." Psalms 37:32, "The wicked watcheth the righteous and seeketh to slay him." Sin. I told you, when you rebel, that sin leads to more sin. Sin never stops that first time you sin. There's that downward progression. It keeps going. The devil here, the wicked one here, is other wicked. He's a rebel. He's out of his place. He's restless. He has no peace. He's wandering about. He's not settled. He's not content. He's eyeing others that are living a life that he should be living, but he's not. And he's trying to get somebody else involved in sin as he is. In other words, it's like he's trying to recruit Job over to his side. "Hey, curse God. Shake your fist in the face of God. Rebel against God. Get full of pride and rebel against God. Come over here and live a life like this." And that's what the devil's trying to do. He's trying to get him to curse God. I'm telling you, that's what people try to do today. They try to get others over to their side. They do not just want to be tolerated. I'm so tired of the word tolerance. In other words, we're not even commanded to be tolerant. But they come out preaching years ago. In my lifetime, though, the Sodomites came out of the closet, amen. I wish they never had, but they came out, and what would they ask? Just tolerate us. Just be okay with us. And dumb foolish, deceived Americans say, oh, it's just an ordinary lifestyle. We got to love them. We'll tolerate them. I mean, it's not like they want our kids. And when you told them, oh, they're after kids, oh, you're just a fanatic. You're just whacked out. You're just full of hate. Hey, was it enough that they were tolerated? No, it's not tolerance that the wicked want. They want you involved in what they're doing. Amen. You study, see what goes on in this country. They got these, they call them pride parades. They're wicked, godless sodomites parading up and down major cities, and they got children. They've got drag queen hours in our libraries, and they're bringing little kids in, and they're reading godless, abominable books. Why? It's not enough that you tolerate them. You know what they're saying in a very strong, militant way? You get over here, and you become part of what we are, and we will never rest content till you do. Well, I'm not going to do it. I refuse to do it. They're an abomination before God. They're wicked. They're godless. And a sodomite's been given over to a reprobate mind. They will die and go to hell. That's what the wicked do. Rebels do that. They're going to say, well, nobody can tolerate me. It's not tolerance they want. They want you in the pig pen with them. They want you in rebellion with them. And if you're not, you're not going to get along with them very well. They want you to become part of what they're doing. So the devil's going to attack the righteous. And let me tell you this, he doesn't give up easily. He tried it once. He took everything that Job had. It didn't work. And he didn't go with his tail tucked between his legs in chapter 2. He goes after his health. You say, could this really happen to me? Could I get that bad? Sure. Well, you think of a man in the Bible. He's called the man after God's own heart. He wrote many psalms, a great man of God. I mean, when we are in trouble, we run to the psalms, and God will minister to us through the psalms that that man wrote through great adversity. But what happened to David one day? The Bible says, came to pass in eventide, David rose from off his bed. I'll go to verse 1. After the year was expired, when kings go forth to battle, David sent Joab. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. What happened to David? He got out of place. He didn't belong in Jerusalem at this time. Should have went to battle. I just missed one church service. I just withdraw from this one battle, this one church ministry. Just this, it's just one time. David, you were on the run for probably 10, 12 years. You've been king 40 years. I'm sure David, after dozens and dozens and maybe hundreds of battles, David, one battle, you take one battle off. You can take one day off. You can take one fight off. No, he's not where he's supposed to be. Can I give you this? This is deep here. If you're not where you're supposed to be, then you're where you're not supposed to be. You know, if you don't come to church tonight, and you should, then wherever you are, that's where you should not be. Amen. It could be in your home. Now, tomorrow morning, it would be good for you to be in your home if that's where you're supposed to be. But if you're supposed to be somewhere and you're not there, then wherever you are is where you're not supposed to be. So he's not where he's supposed to be. And what's he doing? Verse 2, he arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. Seems like he's a little restless. Wandering around the roof of his house in the evening. There's that spirit of restlessness. Why is he restless? Because he's not where he's supposed to be. I guarantee when those men were fighting in the wilderness, they didn't have time to come back to the city and walk around the roofs of the houses. They're too busy. They're occupied. They're wore out from the day's fighting and all that, and they're trying to get a little bit of rest while they're on guard. Their senses are at very high alert. But David, he's restless. And then the Bible says this, verse 3, and David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, is not this Bathsheba the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? It's interesting. Whoever brought this message to David, I believe they had an idea what's going on, and they're trying to tell David, don't do it. Yep. Eliam and Uriah, you know what they both were? They both were David's mighty men. Eliam is an older man. He possibly could be somebody who'd been David before David was ever king. Eliam, we don't know. I mean, I don't know when he became, but he could be one that came to David when he was in debt and distressed and all that. And David said, hey, your life for my life. And Eliam, he could have been with David in the cave when Saul's chasing him. He could have been the one that when they had to leave Jerusalem, that Eliam said, David, I'm with you. I'm the mighty man. We'll get you out of here. We're with you. He said, hey, she's the daughter of Eliam and the wife of Uriah. I mean, we don't know. Uriah could have been one of David's converts. Can we say it that way? He might have been the one. David could have trained that man from young up to become a mighty man. And I think that servant thought, if I just let him know who she is, surely he'll honor those people and their training. But listen, you know what the wicked does? They honor no one. It's all about them. They don't care. Mighty man, faithful to me, loyal to me. They've sacrificed for me. They've given for me. They prayed for me. Oh, I don't care because right now it's all about me. It's what I want. I'm not going to honor you. I'm not going to honor your desire. I'm not going to honor the life you're trying to live. I'm not going to honor the decision you make. It's all about me. I'll trample you. It don't matter what you've done. I'm just going to trample you. Why? Because of resentment and that spirit of rebellion in a heart. David, at this time, he's only concerned with himself. He's not content. He's not satisfied. I'm telling you, the moment you rebel, the moment you get out of your place, you start down a bad path of rebellion. I give you a second example quick. How about King Ahab? Now, David was a godly man other than in some instances in his life. You know what Ahab was? He's a wicked man. Ahab is a rebel. You know what he was, though? He was the king. And as the king, you would think Ahab would have had everything he could ever want. But was he satisfied with what he had? It seems like he goes to wandering. He's not content, even though he's king and he has almost anything he could ever want. But what's he want? The one thing he doesn't have. Yeah. Not content with the blessings he already had. Not satisfied. It hadn't brought peace to his heart. He's just looking at something he doesn't yet have. And you know what it is? Naboth's vineyard. The rebel is never content, never has enough. What's Ahab and his wife and those wicked men do? They attack the righteous. They kill Naboth. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, the Bible says. He resents Job. He says he's got a hedge about him. Well, Satan, you could have had that same hedge, but you rebelled. He said, you've blessed him. Hey, Lucifer, you were once blessed. But he rebelled against God. But if you're not careful, you get that spirit of rebellion. You begin to resent and even hate or covet the blessings that others have or the protection that others have. And you're coveted and you're envious and begin to be a source of irritation and frustration in your life. You get angry or provoked at the thought of others or what others may have. So what do we need to do so we don't walk the way of the wicked? We need to say yes to God. When God speaks to your heart, or when it's in the Word of God, don't tell Him no. God says you need to get this right. You better get it right. God says you need to change this. You better change this. Bible says you need to start. God says you need to start this. You better say yes to God. And if you're in your life and you've got rebellion in your life, you need to go back to where you told God no. Jonah said, no, I'm not going. Remember that? And all when he gets found there in the belly of the whale and he cries out to God, what's God tell him? You need to say yes to what you once told me no to. If there's something in your life that you've resisted with God, you need to go back and make that right. God's not just going to let you go through life and never make that thing right where you said no to God. I read part of it, but the Bible said in Isaiah 55, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Aren't you glad for that? Listen, if you're not right this morning, you come and God will pardon you. He'll have mercy with you. And then it goes on and says these verses, which we know so well, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Now we quote that, and that's a great verse, but the context is repentance and forgiveness with God. He says, if you return, you are wrong. If you come back to me, that's repentance. You turn from your sin, come to God. He said, I'll forgive you. I'll abundantly pardon. Why? Because my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are so much higher than your ways. The Bible says, the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Psalms 139, we know these verses well. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Listen, I don't know what's going on in your life. Maybe this is just a warning for some. Maybe for somebody, there's something in their life that they're in rebellion about. I'm telling you, we need to ask God to search us, that there be no wicked way, that we don't go the way of the wicked, the way of rebellion. I know we want to make sin sound so nice. It's just a disagreement. No, if you go against the Word of God, it is rebellion. And it leads you down a dangerous path in your life. Amen. Let's pray. Let's pray here this morning. Heads bowed and eyes closed. The Lord spoke to your heart. The altar's open.